Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpuga. This evening, we'll talk about Kenya's repeat presidential election. And with us tonight is Isaac Onjiri. Isaac is a senior political reporter for the Daily Nation newspaper in Kenya. Good evening, Isaac.
Fine, I can hear you well.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Also joining us is my colleague, Mohamed Yusuf. Yusuf is joining us by phone from Kisumu. Good evening, Yusuf.
Good evening, Dad. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, and also joining us is a regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. He's joining us from Durban, South Africa. Suleiman, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me and listening to
others. You're welcome. One of you's radio is very close to the phone, so can you put a little bit far? So, gentlemen, as I said, we're talking about Kenya's repeat presidential election. Polls have closed in Kenya's repeat election, but the Electoral Commission has put off repeat polls in four counties in Nyanza, citing security challenges. Let me begin in Nairobi with Isaac. First of all, give us the general mood. How was the polling? How did it go?
What has happened in the country today is that, of course, you know, the country is divided among the opposition and the government supporters, the main opposition leader, Raila Odinga, supporters of President Uhuru Kenyatta. So today what has happened is that we've had elections in some parts of the country, largely in Uhuru Kenyatta, stronghold in the central province, and in the Rift Valley and all the other parts of the country, but the many parts of the former Nyanza province, especially in the four constituencies, there was no elections at all. But in many other counties that are aligned with the opposition, the turnout was very, very, very low. And in many polling stations, also in most of those elections did not take place. But again, the president's strong, the turnout was very low, mostly around 30%, 35%. Though we expect later on tonight, the Electoral Commission will be able to actually update the country on the actual number of turnout. But from what we are able to see and record, it was very low.
And we understand the tallying of votes is going on right now. Is that correct? In those places where they are voting?
Yeah, it is true. Tallying is going on. I've seen some reports regarding the tallying from quite a number of polling centers. And even in the television, some televisions are doing their own tallying. And from what we're able to see, from this survey that Uhuru Kenyatta was presenting a stronger candidate than the other six contestants, Raila Odinga had left. But we are seeing some voters actually voted for Raila Odinga. So at the moment, one television station just reported that President Kenyatta is leading by about 99% of a small number of votes that were cast in some parts of the country today so far.
I see. Yusuf, how was it in Kisumu and neighboring places? We understand there was some violence. Yusuf, can you hear me?
Hello? You, Isaac.
Muhammad. Do we have Muhammad Yusuf?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yes, tell us what's happening in Kisumu and how did it go today?
Kisumu, there was no election. There was a demonstration. There was running battles between the police and demonstrators and some youths who wanted to vote.
And basically, in one of the constituencies in Kisumu center, there was no much activity, and they could not even distribute the electoral materials. And so basically what I'm saying is there is no election in Kisumu, and I'm very much aware that it is one of the areas that the IEBC, the Electoral Commission, has postponed the election till today. So, so far what we understand is that one person has died in today's violence that has rocked some parts of Kisumu, and about 34 people have injured in this part of the country.
And how is the situation now? That it's nightfall now in Kisumu. How is the situation? How is the security situation over there?
It's quiet, very tense. There's even still the running battles going on, but now it's quiet, but very tense. And many people don't know what tomorrow will be, and people are really cautious. But at the moment, it seems to be everyone has gone home, maybe preparing for tomorrow, what may come to be, whether it's going on with their business or going into the streets again to say they won't participate in this election.
And Yusuf, how did the people take the announcement by the Electoral Commission that they'll be voting on Saturday, October 28th?
People here say, look, we've decided and our party leader has told us not to vote, and we're not going to vote. And whether IEBC postpones or give us another date, they still stand by that, by it, that they're not going to vote. And they say that they will make sure that no voting will take place on Saturday.
I see. Suleiman, we're talking about a repeat election in Kenya. You know, Kenya in East Africa has the biggest economy. It used to be the oasis of stability. What's your takeaway from this kind of development?
To begin with, Douglas, it's very unfortunate. Our leaders in Africa have really let down our people. President Kenyatta has let down the Kenyans. The commission chairperson has let down Kenya. Because today was not an election. Announcing today that there was going to be an election was unfortunate, because it was not going to be an election. It was a declaration of war. It was very clear in the circumstances which were existing. You cannot hold an election in a political war zone. I mean, the whole system, from the court ruling, the issue was mismanaged. The whole situation was mismanaged, both by President Kenyatta and the IEBC. There is a lot which should have been done, which was not done. One of the issues which we need to take cognizance of is that Mr. Kenyatta failed to appreciate the dual role which he has as the president of the country and as a presidential candidate. He merged the two, and he could not differentiate that as a president of a government. Immediately from the court ruling, he had to mobilize government institutions to give support to the IEBC, to create confidence in the IEBC itself, to create confidence in the electoral process, to create confidence in the people of Kenya, to have confidence in the elections which will be held. Apart from that one, also, he had to make sure that the people themselves get united again, to make sure that the country does not divide. So he had to leave the presidential candidate hat aside and then deal with the government side, with the government hat, so that he creates cohesion. Without cohesion, instead he continued as a candidate. In the process, he divided the country more and more. In addition to that, other errors, he committed even more errors, abusing the judiciary, continuing with the rhetoric. He did not even care about looking for a commission to investigate the death of Chris Msando. So a lot of
the whole environment became toxic, and thereafter, they declare both of them electoral commission that they are going to be election. That was a declaration of war to those, to the injured party, which had just won the court petition.
Isaac, how is the student situation over in Nairobi as opposed to Kisumu? I'm asking how is the student situation in Nairobi?
In Nairobi, there are some parts of Nairobi that already they experienced some forms of violence, especially in the slum areas, police battling with the opposition supporters in Madare and in Kibera. But generally, the other areas remain calm, though many of the opposition supporters stayed indoors. They did not participate in the repeat poll as ordered by the as organized by the Electoral Commission. And what happened in Nairobi today is that even one of the polling centers that is known for high voter turnout is called Moi Avenue Primary School, with close to 20,000 registered voters at the very low turnout today. So things were very different. And earlier, later on today, you know, the opposition member of parliament were holding a press conference at one of the hotels in Nairobi, and they clashed with members of the government side led by the majority leader at the Senate, Mr. Kipchumba Murkomen. And that was during a live TV show, something that has really surprised many people, because the leaders were almost exchanging blows. So some bit of tension around the city as well.
So do you think, in your opinion, was the low turnout due to the insecurity in the city, or was it due to the call by NASA to boycott the election?
Probably many factors, because you know, the city of Nairobi, you know, in an area where the opposition has command almost up to 50% of the support, and the government also commands quite a sizable, especially Uhuru Kenyatta commands quite a sizable support in the city. So what happened today is that, of course, it could have been known that members of the opposition were hitting to call by the opposition leader not to participate. But again, the weather was also not very favorable. That is something many people have talked about today. And also, given that the election was looking like a walkover for President Kenyatta, many of his supporters apparently did not show up. And 2 minutes ago, I've been exchanging information with some of my friends, you know, those who listen to the regular radio stations, and they're saying that radio stations, particularly in Central Province, they are actually castigating residents of the region for having failed to turn out as expected. So, and that is what the opposition MPs was having at the press at the hotel where they clashed with the police. They're trying to talk about the voter turnout, because the debate that we'll have after today is on legitimacy issue, you know. So, you know, they say, for example, only 30% turned out, or 40% or 50, or less than 50, then it will be that, you know, many people did not turn out, and therefore this is a legitimate process and an illegitimate government. Some debate of that kind will crop up in the coming days.
I see. Yusuf, the areas where they have postponed the election Saturday are strongholds, as you said, of Mr. Odinga and NASA Super Alliance, National Super Alliance. Do you see, are they determined to keep on protests until Saturday? Or what's the mood generally?
Generally, we are seeing today a situation where in a constituency where 400 IBC workers, clerks, were supposed to show up, and only 4 people showed up, and did many reasons, be security, because in the protests that were taking place, many could not come because roads were blocked, or people are too afraid because they fear that they may be profiled and later they may face some consequences. But generally, what you see here is people who are defiant, and you can see people when they see an empty polling station not actually taking place. And that makes them happy. We quite celebrate that. But again, today's event, I see one voter who went to his polling station in central Kisumu, and he found the polling station closed, no activity was going on, and he went to the constituency center to inquire more about it. And the returning officer, or the polling officer, or the constituency officer, or the IBC told him, look, there's little I can do. I'm trying to offload the materials at the moment, and I don't have any workers present. So generally, it's another day again. Tomorrow, this will have an easy day, or it's environed by the neighboring counties where the election was postponed. But for today will be another day, and we will see how that goes. But people are still defiant, and they have that feeling, and they're saying election will not take place. But again, for those few people who would like to vote, it's really hard to see what they're going to do there. And if the security agencies are ready for it, or the IBC will be ready for it this time round, I think it's something that all of us will need to see how that goes on Saturday. And we hope that people will not lose their lives because of the election so far, when we have seen today or other days when there has been protesting in this part of the country.
I see. Well, gentlemen, hold your thoughts. Let's take a short break. We'll be back again to continue our discussion of the Kenya's repeat elections.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're talking about Kenya's repeat election. Our panelists are Isaac Onjiri, a senior political reporter for the Daily Nation newspaper in Nairobi, VOA's Mohamed Yusuf, who's now in Kisumu, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 6 in Washington. Suleiman, what do you make of all this? Because Kenya now seems to be teetering on some clash of some kind. This can't simply go away.
Douglas, it is unfortunate, because whatever way you look at it, it was simplistic to think that an election could be held in such an environment. What is ironical is that, sincerely speaking, the Jubilee supporters had more to fear than even the NASA supporters. Because the Jubilee supporters, imagine 6 million people hiding somewhere. How can you walk to go and have election with a country which has got violence before?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was unthinkable that people could vote in an environment. Number two, how can you jump a place where there are security forces all over, all armed to the teeth, and then you go to vote? The conditions were not conducive for an election to take place. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the president of Kenya became so adamant to allow such a situation. The tempers had to be cooled down. They had to reach an understanding. They had to agree. Kenya is for everybody. Kenya does not belong to the Jubilee Party members only. In the end, even the Jubilee members themselves cannot go to vote. He had to be patriotic enough. He had to go beyond the partisan politics and then sit down with the Electoral Commission, sit down with the opposition, and they get a way forward.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, in those conditions, Douglas, for me, I could not see an election taking place. Not only that, there are other issues also which were not sorted out. The president had abused the judicial officials. The president had undermined the decision from the court from day one. He never rescinded all these ones. He had called the judicial officials crooks. He never rescinded all that. So there were so many things which were around, surrounding. The whole environment was not conducive for an election. And whatever you say, the basic demands have not been fulfilled. However much they tally the results, whether they announce the results, but remember, what has been done does not reach the principles of a democratic and free and fair election, because a big number of people have been excluded, including Jubilee people, because some of them have been excluded because they are intimidated. So you find that many people have been disenfranchised. So in that way, you cannot say that the elections were free, fair, democratic, and transparent, and inclusive.
I see.
So the whole system has to go back to the drawing board, and they chart out a new way for an inclusive election.
I see. Isaac, from what you're picking up in Nairobi, are people willing to move on after this? Or do you think there may be other challenges, like legal challenges to the fairness and credibility of the election? Isaac, can you hear me?
Which has been hailed as one of the most progressive constitutions in the region, allows people to, you know, take legal actions whenever they want. And from what I can foresee is that we have a lot of people rushing to court on various grounds after the elections. And that is why, especially on the matter of legitimacy and the number of people which have turned out. And that is why I think even the Electoral Commission earlier, they promised that they will give an indication of what the vote turnout really was, because this is something they must be having right now, given the machines that they were using, known as schemes. Mm. But they haven't done that up to now. So I think we are going to see a lot of court cases in the coming days on a number of issues. There are some other pending issues at the Supreme Court that was supposed to have been dispensed with yesterday, but then, you know, there was a quorum hinge. So I foresee a situation of people. But when you look at it, whether people are going to move on or not, of course, I've already said that the country is divided into two. And there are those who are willing to move ahead. They are making an argument that they have lost a lot of businesses, that the potential is not good for the country and things like that. And then there is the other side. They are feeling that we have to fix this political problem first before we can move on, so that when we move on with all Kenyans united. So I'm seeing a situation where one group will say we can move on, the other group will be destabilized and will want to move on.
I see. Yusuf, yesterday Mr. Odinga, the leader of the National Super Alliance, declared that they are going to start a national resistance movement. Apart from defiance and protests, what else is involved in that resistance movement, according to the people at that region?
I think one of the things that will follow next protests we have seen, but now because I was speaking to supporters in one day, the day before, I should just talk about a conversation, like the court in some products, the work community participate, and that is the next move. But as NG just mentioned, it's really hard for other parts of the country, some people to move. Remember, in 2013, there was a Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said that President Kenyatta was elected in the district convention. And the whole notion of time was accept the move on. And now it's really hard to see what you can tell people to accept in a situation where the main challenge while I think that the election 2 weeks, 9 weeks, So it's really hard for the country to move on. But I think the resistance is much now involved something to do with economics. And I think protests will still go on. And I don't think some people will find it easy to move from what we've seen 5 years ago where people accepted and move on after the Supreme Court. Now it's really hard for some people to accept and move on this time around in another 5 years.
I see. Suleiman, briefly, given what's transpiring now, do you see NASA heading back to the Supreme Court? And if the Supreme Court rules in their favor, doesn't that precipitate some crisis of its own?
It will, but what it takes, I think, what our brothers in Kenya have to understand is that it's very important to have a proper institutions to run things like elections, because for us in South Africa here since 1994 we have been having elections. In the last elections in 2016, the local government elections, ANC lost the capital, Pretoria. It lost Port Elizabeth, where many of the founders of ANC come from. Government, the ANC government, never tried whatsoever to interfere into the processes of the Electoral Commission. All the indications before elections were showing that the ANC is trailing the opposition party. But they remained the course. And even after the election, they accepted the other parties to take government in those particular, in Port Elizabeth, in Cape Town, in Pretoria. These are led by opposition parties. The failure, the biggest problem in Africa is that a sitting government doesn't want to accept that they can be defeated. So if it comes that elections are nullified again after this one, there seems to be cooling down of heads on both sides, and they solidify the institutions and then hold a free and fair election. South Africa holds such elections, Nigeria holds elections, Ghana holds elections. There are no wars. It is high time Kenya breaks crosses that line, crosses the Rubicon, and it starts holding elections where it is free and fair and there is no wars.
I see. We're running out of time. Briefly, Isaac, do you see people in Nairobi there? Are they thinking of that NASA will keep on with its protest and defiance after the election, or do you see them going back to the Supreme Court for some recourse? Isaac.
Hello.
Yes, please. Briefly, 30 seconds. Yes.
I don't know whether NASA will be will enjoy the lockup to actually go to court on an election that they did not participate in. But they have so many other avenues of accessing the legal process, even if they don't go there on their own. So what we expect in Nairobi, of course, we still expect a lot of struggle between the government and the government side and the government supporters and the opposition supporters, because yesterday Mr. Odinga announced that, he will come up again after on 27th to make some more directions on how the opposition supporters will behave. And I think he was saying so that probably the presentation will have an opportunity again to give the elections to support her. So we expect a lot from the law, and we will just be monitoring to see what is going to happen before Kenya. But whether they will go to court, I think that is a possibility. But I also need to remind the panelists that the Chief Justice actually traveled 400 kilometers away from Nairobi and actually participated in the elections.
I see. All right, that's about all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Isaac Ongiri, a senior political reporter for the Daily Nation newspaper, my colleague, VOA's Mohamed Yusuf, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show. Our producer was Kwame Ofori tonight, and our engineer was Skip Sisk. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@vuanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga, in Washington.